Well, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be with you guys today. It's such a privilege to be looking at all of your beautiful, lovely, light-filled faces. And I'm just so grateful to be entering into this season of rest with you. And I want to talk about that a little bit in my journey. And it's going to be more about rest than about Advent, but I think you can make the connection. Advent is a season of waiting and longing. It's a season of expectant hope. I'm praying that God will use something I say here today to spark something in your heart this Advent season. Silence and solitude and that journey into it has healed and transformed my life, my marriage, my relationships with other people. It's helping me become my truest self in Christ. It's deepened my relationship with God and has literally changed the trajectory of my life. I'm gonna wait a second until Glenn gets the, I think I'm ringing here. We okay? About 4 years ago, I was headed for burnout. I was deeply hungry for more of God than I had in my life, and there was no one I could find who could help me go deeper. It almost felt like there was a wall that I couldn't break through in my relationship with God. It also felt like my desire for Him was something that He Himself had placed within me. You know, our great thirst is for God. Psalm 62:1 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone." It turns out that what I needed was to make a journey, the longest journey there is. The journey from my head to my heart, deeper into relationship and intimacy with God. God led me to the ancient soul practices of silence, solitude, and meditating on Scripture, along with greater rest and joy in Him through keeping the Sabbath. I decided to arrange my life to be congruent with my deepest desire. Now, this is gonna sound radical, but I committed to spend an hour a day in God's presence. From 4 to 5 p.m. every day was my happy hour. And I really was happier after spending that time with Jesus. I did it after work. Actually, it was from 5 to 6, not from 4 to 5, because I would get home, and then I would kind of settle in, and Gray wouldn't be home yet. He started coming home later because he thought, well, she's going to be with Jesus from 5 to 6, and I don't want to be with her until after she's been with Jesus. So I talked to my family about it in advance. I told them what I would be doing and that this time was sacred to me. I asked that they would help me honor this time and that I not be interrupted. I would literally close an upstairs bedroom door and put a little sign hanging on the doorknob. I lit a candle during each time with God to remind me of the presence and movement of the Holy Spirit. Now I light 3 candles to remind me that each member of the Holy Trinity is present, inviting me into relationship, inviting me into the dance. As I made solitude, silence, and meditating on Scripture a daily priority, I experienced deep soul rest, interior freedom, intimacy with God, and deep peace. I experienced less anxiety and less fear. I was more present to the Holy Spirit in my day. I began to let go of control, let go of outcomes, and was better able to be present with people, really present. As I surrendered and allowed God to control this time in prayer, because you know, He's always initiating, He's always inviting us into something, I continue to feel Him showing me and stripping away that which is no longer necessary. That which is no longer needed in order that I may become my truest self in Him. He's freeing me from those disordered loves and attachments that are clinging to me like tentacles. And He's not only stripping away layers of self-protection, He's healing me and the layers in the process. And I'm learning to stand naked and unashamed before God, looking full on in the mirror with Him at myself, scars, imperfections, warts and all. And I love what I see. I am becoming more and more free. I am taking on more of his energy. With God speaking to me through the gospel scenes as I meditated and sat with small bits of scripture, I opened up my feelings and every sense to God. God moved me from deep places of insecurity to security as his story intersected with mine. Sitting with gospel passages and immersing myself in them in prayer brought me much healing, even healing of some deep childhood wounds. Now I feel like the gospel stories are walking around inside of me. I am immersed in my own personal smaller gospel story within God's bigger gospel story. What I've since learned is that stories connect the right and left sides of our brain and are best at integrating emotion and identity, memory and empathy. In a sort of cosmic redemptive way, God is offering his mind to us through the stories in Scripture to restructure our brains, to overcome sin, and to become healthy and whole again. After 4 months of me spending this extended time in prayer, my husband came to me very seriously and said, "I need to talk to you. Can you go sit down on the couch?" So I did. And he said, "Can you show me what you're doing? Because I want to do it too. And then can you talk with me about it each week?" Now he's sitting in solitude, silence, and prayer with God for an extended time each day. And God's changing him. We are each on our own journey with God, and Gray's doesn't look exactly like mine, but we are each where we are supposed to be on our own journey. Honestly, I never dreamed that Gray would be impacted in this way, just by observing me and the changes God was making in my own heart and life. We are experiencing together that as we're each drawn into rich, deeper intimacy and rest in God, we are drawn deeper into intimacy and rest with one another. And we are more open to talking to one another about our intimacy with God in a way that we've never done before. Often we go through our days seeing and meeting tasks as a series of one door opening and then closing, another door opening and closing, then another door opening and closing all day long. Open the door, do the thing, close it, open the door, do the task, close it, go to the next door. And that's our day. We are stuck in the loop of the success model of the world. Productivity can never give us the deep sense of belonging that we crave. Let me say that again. Productivity can never give us the deep sense of belonging that we crave. And since we're practicing distraction through our cell phones most of the time, we aren't truly present anyway. Instead of the goal of our day being, where and how was I present with God at every point during my day? He's always initiating. He's always inviting us into something. Where do I see him moving and working? Am I working with him? Do we ask ourselves, will this thought, this action, this thing lead me closer to God or further away from God? What about that connection I had with that person? Could have been my spouse. Did my interaction with them draw them closer to God or further away from God? Our goal as daughters of our King is to live in the fullness and freedom in the reality of his kingdom and not plant ourselves firmly in the reality of the world. We want to be really present with him and the work he's doing in our midst. We are so wired for egocentricity and control, and I'm talking to myself when I'm saying this. I am recovering from the addictions of control, perfectionism, and people-pleasing. And you know, I think we're all addicted to something. In each present moment, the will of God is already unfolding. He is always initiating. Are we going to lean into it and participate in it? Or are we going to move against it? In solitude, I have experienced that we develop the capacity to be present. In silence, we cultivate the capacity to listen. And in stillness, we acquire restraint or self-control. Meditating on scripture prayerfully can wake us up to areas in our life where we are not really free, where God wants to free us of things that are getting in the way of our relationship with Him. The more we grow quiet and still, the more open and receptive we become to God's action in our soul and consequently in our lives. It's less about our own effort and more about our alignment with the divine. We can then carry that solitude, silence, rest, and the presence of God into everything we do. As we are transformed by the Holy Spirit in our own inner journey from the inside out, we can't hide it. That transformation, that light, the love of God radiates and ripples out. The sharp edges, and again, I'm speaking of myself here, of our personalities and souls that slice and dice other people will be transformed layer by layer in God's presence. And it's a continual journey. Honoring the Sabbath for me means that I surrender. I am not God. I can't do all the things. Imagine that. I stop because it's time to stop, not because everything is done. God created us to live in rhythm, and rest is an important enzyme for life. And for me, being on staff means that since I work on Sunday, then I have started to look at Friday night and Saturday very differently, and it means that I'm saying no to some things in order to cultivate the practice of Sabbath in my life. And that's been a choice I've had to make, but it's been a very fruitful choice. I have this quote by Wayne Mueller. He's in one of my favorite books called Sabbath. I think I'm on my fourth or fifth time reading it. And I have this quote actually on my bathroom mirror. Jesus did not wait until everyone had been properly cared for, until all who sought him were healed. He did not ask for permission to go, nor did he leave behind anyone on call. He didn't even let his disciples know where he was going. Jesus obeyed a deeper rhythm. When the moment for rest had come, the time for healing was over. He would simply stop, retire to a quiet place, and pray. Here's another word by the same author. If we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. I am experiencing in and through Sabbath keeping the space to savor the gifts God has given me, savor beauty, savor nature, savor my family, savor what brings me joy. Savor the chance for my soul to catch up with my body. Savor stopped. You can't buy stopped, you know. Though the world tries to tell us we can buy stopped, you just have to stop. You can't buy it. It's a curious thing. As a result of stopping and observing Sabbath regularly, I'm finding myself resisting the urge to buy more, do more, be more. Those things don't bring me life. I have enough. I do enough. I am enough. I am not what I buy or what I do. I am a beloved child of God, That is my identity. I'm finding myself more and more at rest in that, and my life is more abundant as a result. I want to read a stanza of a poem to you, so you might want to just sit back and listen with me to this beautiful little stanza. It's from the poem Aurora Leigh by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he with eyes to see takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. Take off your shoes and worship and invite others into the presence of God. This is the noticing life. Not only your outer life, noticing where God is working around you, but your inner conversation. And we all have them. We all have an inner narrative going on all the time. Noticing that your story, your soul, your being can be set on fire with the Spirit of God. The bushes are always burning for those who have eyes to see. In the ordinary details and moments of our lives. That last line, I'm going to read this poem to you again so that you can connect it. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he with eyes to see takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. That last line, the rest sitting around and plucking blackberries, we could see it as a nod to consumerism. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss God's kingdom breaking in. I definitely want to be about noticing the bushes on fire, not be distracted by sitting around and plucking blackberries or practicing the presence of my phone. God is always initiating, and he is already at work in every moment. If we are entering into each moment from a place of rest, we will more easily see where he's at work. It's harder for us to be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit when we are exhausted. God has shown me that being in him from a place of deep soul rest is the work. I'm going to say that again. God has shown me that being in him from a place of deep soul rest is the work. As I carry his quiet around inside me, I'm experiencing that I can be his embodied presence in the world. And I can pay attention to where he's at work. And then I can join him and invite others to join him too. I'm being sent out. It's apostolic. It's this holistic integration with my whole being of inviting God into every moment. What if we were to embrace our God-given limits as a gift instead of pushing the boundaries all the time? What if we embraced them? The recipe for rhythmic living is right there in the Bible. We already have God's permission to rest and take a Sabbath. If you're not regularly observing a Sabbath, who else's permission do you need? You already have God's. Think about that for a minute. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I think you actually have this on your tables. Sweet little beautiful frame. Psalm 131:1 and 2 says, "Let my mind rest in the Lord." Psalm 62:1 and 2 says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Think for a minute and imagine with me what our community would be like if every one of us spent time with God every day, sitting in his presence, not just learning more about God, not just head knowledge, but opening ourselves up to truly experiencing him, to let him love us deeply, to let his gospel story be a part of us. And I'm not talking about working hard in your prayer and trying to come up with an outcome. I'm talking about letting God truly control the time, setting a timer on your phone for 10 minutes, and just being with God. And then his love just oozes out of us. It cannot, will not be contained. It is divine love flowing out of us over which we have no control. And that's a little scary. We know that so much of what God does in the world begins in people's hearts. If we give him time, he will make himself known to us. Madeline L'Engle said, "We draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." I invite you to consider what God might be inviting you to this season. What are some ways you might create space to be open to him, to experience deep soul rest as the work? For it's in solitude that we learn to distinguish the one true voice from all the other voices clamoring for our attention. Don't be afraid to make changes in your life that are congruent with those desires that God has placed within you. That's a very exciting part of the spiritual journey right there, paying attention to our deep, God-given desire. Maybe you even need to take time out for a silent retreat. Get away for a couple of days. Detox from the world. And just be with God. I know a place. I can connect you. It's $50 a night. There's nothing to do. The rooms are not cute. But boy, it's a place you can be with God alone. I'm going to read. I just felt led to add this at the last minute. But there's a house of prayer in about an hour and a half away from here. And there's a lady who started it. I think she's in her 90s. And there's just a quote from her that I want to read to you that so speaks to my heart. And she knows a lot about sitting with God and the fruit that comes from it. And she says, "You know, we humans are prone to let our sense of who we are and our sense of worth depend on how others seem to see us or respond to us. We see ourselves through the eyes and actions or personalities of others. And given the human condition with its woundedness, people can give us very distorted images. To the extent that we internalize all those false messages, we gradually assume a false self, and we do not know who we really are. Sooner or later, we each must heed the call of God to be alone before him and let him reveal to us who we truly are and show us how we are using that great gift of our life. We come to the solitude of a hermitage to give God the chance to do precisely that. That encounter is a time of intense aloneness. No one else can do that for us. No one else can even do that with us. And in that encounter, we know we are who God sees us to be. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And the bottom line message God gives is, you are my beloved daughter. On you my favor rests. I yearn for your love response. God loves us just as we are, always has loved us, always will love us, will never not love us. I just want to say, he will take and multiply whatever offering of time you can give him. Let his gentleness and his love embrace you. As we embody the good news from a place of rest, we will go and set the world on fire. So let me know how this goes for you. If you have any questions or you want to visit about specifics or how-tos of what I've mentioned, I would love to do that with you. I actually brought a basket of some resources that I have loved that I'm happy to lay out and share with you. And let me just pray for us. Holy Father, would you open us up to the deep work you want to do in and through us as we submit to you and to your work of deep soul rest in our lives. Help us to welcome with open hearts and arms the freedom and glory that you desire to bring to us. Amen.